Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Small Business Spotlight Podcast. My name is Jay Davis. Thanks for listening to the show wherever you get your podcasts. There's been a shift with this particular project. We've moved to feature specific small businesses each month, highlighting their growth, longevity, and what they mean to their communities, among other things. This month's feature puts the spotlight on Avalon International Breads. Avalon this month marked 25 years in business. The bakery that started in 1997 in the Cass Corridor with four employees now has three retail locations, more than 100 employees, and a 50,000 square foot Detroit-based bakehouse. My guest this month is Avalon co-founder and owner Jackie Victor. Victor's proud of what she's built, but while working on this feature made it clear her business has been able to grow and thrive because of his staff and customers.
I'm living right now in Huntington Woods.
Okay. And so I know this is the 25th year of the business. Do you have anything special, anything in particular planned for this year?
You mean like celebrations
and
stuff? Yeah. Well, we are looking at it as something kind of throughout the year. And this month we're doing just some fun specials. We did for like capturing on the 25. We did 25 cent sea salt cookies. Now we're doing $2.50 pieces of cake. We're doing a buy a loaf of bread, get a second for 25 cents one week. Another week we're doing buy two $25 gift certificates, get a third for free. So like just fun kind of big specials. We made a map of all the different neighborhoods that are named, the breads are named after, that people could do a little bike ride.
Yeah.
Because as we were leading up to this, it was COVID. Usually we would do a big party and everything, but it just was so unclear what was going to be possible. So really, I mean, at the end of the day, Avalon's all about the community and the employees anyway. And so what we're doing is we're just going to be throughout the month and the year, just profiling different, we're starting really with the employees and just doing little profiles and customers. And so it's not so much like shedding the light on ourselves as much as being a mirror that mirrors back to the community, like what we see when we look out from the business, what we see when we look into our business. Yeah, so just kind of, you know, hopefully just shedding a light on what makes Avalon Avalon, and which really is the community and the employees.
When you say Avalon is all about the community, what do you mean by that?
So really at that time, just opening a business in the neighborhood that was making something that was of use, and it was healthy, and it was delicious, and it was affordable. Just that in and of itself was like something that mirrored back to the community, sort of like what we think of as we think of Detroit. What every Detroiter deserves is quality and substance and a nurturing environment. But what happened from there is it became much bigger than that, because soon it became kind of ground zero, and everybody from football players to presidential candidates to the local anarchists to community activists to everyday people from suburbs and from the city would just coming here every day. And so it really became what we say is the hearth and soul, but that really is what it became. And so, and that was before Shinola and before any of these. There's probably 150 new businesses since we opened up. It was before any of them.
So you opened a business in 97. How long was it in the works?
I could say it was in the works my whole life, like growing up in the suburbs and driving back and forth as a small kid and kind of seeing inequality and having like something go in my head, just going like, this is not right. But the actual concrete part of it was really not that long. I mean, I got the idea, Anne and I thought of it. We got an apprenticeship, we wrote it. It was probably 2 years, totally, until we like literally opened our doors. It was fast.
And what were you doing? You were 29, 30. So what were you doing before that?
Well, I had been.
I know you were active.
I had been an activist. I went to UofM right out of college. I was a director of a statewide peace and justice organization. Okay. I worked on some campaigns, stuff like that. Anne had worked in the schools, in the Wayne County schools. She was also a massage therapist. So we were totally scrapping it. You know, I mean, I think the year before we opened the bakery, we were living at a bed and breakfast up north that some friends of mine own, and I think we made like $4,700 between the two of us. We both had a vision. If you and I were to sit here for a day, 4 hours, you'd probably meet 20 people who've been coming here every day.
Really?
It's incredible. literally, this isn't about me. Like, I don't work here anymore because I work at the bakehouse. And I was here yesterday, and I was just like, oh my God, this is still the best place on earth. It's just there's just something special that is. I mean, like the fire guys, the policemen have been coming through for 25 years. It's amazing. Anyway.
Do you remember the first?
It's like when your kid grows up,
yeah,
and you're like, they're such a cool person. Like, you know what? It's not like my kid. I'm like, they're such a cool person. That's how I feel about this. Like, it's such a cool place.
Do you remember your first day being open?
Oh my God. I barely remember it because we were so exhausted.
Really?
I really do have some great pictures I could look up, but Anne, the co-founder. She comes from a huge family of 12, and her mom's a great baker. So the first day we opened, we had this young consultant who was just like a young baker we'd met when we were apprenticing in other bakeries from California. He came in for like 6 weeks and lived with us and helped us serve. So it was him, us, her mom, her sister, two other friends of ours. We literally baked for 24 hours.
Really?
We were so exhausted. We went home, took a shower, came back. Like, we were up for a whole 24 hours, probably more than that. Anyway, we didn't have, the doors weren't in yet. The windows were barely anything up. You know, the counter was there, but like there was no sneeze guard or anything. And we just set up this table, and I remember it was June. We had just like massive baskets with just like flats of strawberries that we just like mounded over, and then like we cut everything on pieces. We had cheeses. It was just this like gorgeous spread.
We keep mentioning the pandemic, COVID, 2 years into it now. How did you shift when everything shut down? Were you able to just operate as a wholesaler for a while, or what did you guys do?
Well, look, I just think it needs to be said about 10,000 times, and every business person needs to say it. No, none of us would be here if it wasn't for the U.S. government. None of us. We would have no economy left. So we shut down completely. We, you know, had to lay everyone off, and we don't have like $200,000 sitting around in the bank. Yeah. Had to lay everybody off, and then PPP came up, and we applied for PPP, and we got PPP, and we started to slowly bring people back. We started with the co-packing and then slowly opened up the retail, but that was so slow for so long. So it was a variety of things, you know, but I think it was mostly wholesale, the grocery stores and stuff, and this co-manufacturing that really took us through. But then the food service, I mean, that was the other thing. We were doing this distribution through Sysco and Gordon Food Service, but all of a sudden there were no restaurants. They're just gone. You know, there was nobody was open, and right. If they were open, they had 1/10 of the business. So we got the PPP, and that was super helpful. And then we got the EID, we got an EIDL loan none of these things we could have made it through, not one single thing. And then we also got the ERTC tax credits, which we're still waiting for some of them, and that was actually to pay us for the employees that we had kept. So that's how we got, I just think it needs to be said, that's how we got through COVID.
Do you have any staff that's been with you for extended period of time?
We actually have someone who's has learning disabilities, who started 15 years ago, and he's like, this has become his family. I mean, he gets walked to the bus stop every day, and he was brought here through. I mean, he has, like, this is his family. We have people, I'm trying to think, Bavon, who isn't here today, but she works the coffee machine. She lives in the neighborhood, walks to work every day. Actually, she's the one who walks what we call Little J to the bus stop. Whether she's working or not, she comes and she walks them. But she's tried to retire. She's retired twice, but then she always comes back. She just like loves it here, mm-hmm. and she's like a fixture. We have some people at the bakehouse who've come back, who've left and come back. I have someone who started here as a driver when he was 19, and his dad has also worked here, and he left and came back, and now he's our wholesale sales manager, and his dad is our logistics coordinator, and his daughter's just interviewing here, so we might have three generations, but they've been here. He's been here probably 15 years. I mean, I've always known this is a privilege to kind of midwife this place, but to talk to people, and every single person, you say, why did you come here, and then why do you stay? Every single person says, the people, they're like family, the culture, the people, the customers, the employees. It's very humbling, because people work so hard. I'm about to cry. People work so hard, and we face so many challenges as a small business, and we're so imperfect, and yet people show up every day. Someone was telling me a long time ago, employees are volunteers. They volunteer to come to work every day, and I never forget that. And we have all these people who volunteered to come and work for us for 15, 12, all these, and it's so humbling.
25 years in business, do you have a vision for the next 25 years?
At this point, my vision is that the business is sustainable far into the future. So I'm excited. We're doing some exciting things. We haven't quite announced yet, but we are doing some exciting things in our original space mm-hmm. in the next year. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about us bringing back some of the in-house baking that we have been doing. We're already doing some of it. We're going to be doing more of it. I'm excited about expanding this distribution model and this co-manufacturing model. But really, what I'm most excited about is just doing what we do better and continuing to improve, continuing to become more profitable, because then we can be more sustainable, and then employees can stay here longer and they can have better lives. So really, it's just, it's sort of like our vision in, I think we have a 10-year vision, and basically it's a recommitment to our three bottom lines, which is Earth, Community, and our employees, and looking at our business and saying we are nailing all three. Because, I love where we're at, and our vision, our North Star, we have a long way to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for joining us for the Small Business Spotlight Podcast. We'll be back next month with another episode. Thank you to our guest, Jackie Victor, owner of Avalon International Breads. Thanks to Tim Simpson, who takes care of everything behind the scenes. You can find this and other Cranes Detroit Business Podcasts by clicking on podcast at the top of our website, or by searching for Cranes Conversations wherever you get your podcasts. Take it easy.